You're listening to Amy Keeps It Creepy, the podcast where I share my obsession with true crime and the paranormal with you. I'm your host, Amy Brooks. A mysterious floating blob. A prison guard still on duty. Randy spirits who like to stroke long hair and grope women. This is the Adelaide Jail, probably the most haunted and terrifying place in South Australia. Hi, creepsters. Thank you for watching the premiere of my paranormal adventures on YouTube, on the Toxic Content channel. I will debut a video every week where I visit the most haunted places in America. This week, I'm going to a pioneer cemetery in Sierra Madre, California, where a little girl asked me to play. She says she likes playing and wants to play with me. Oh, did I mention I was alone in the cemetery and this little girl was dead? Super creepy. Yeah, the EVPs I captured were amazing. Check it out on YouTube. The link is in the show notes or on creepypodcast.com. All right, it's giveaway time. I still have my creepy sticker giveaway going on until the end of February. To get your creepy stickers, all you have to do is leave me a written review and a 5-star rating. That's it. And you were going to do that anyway, so you might as well get some cool free stuff. Screenshot your review and email it to info@creepypodcast.com, along with your mailing address, and I will get those out to you. And guys, thank you so much for your ratings and reviews. It is so important to a new podcast. You have no idea. This week, I'm going to read you this. My favorite review is from E. Alenz, who wrote that the podcast was uniquely creepy and addicting. Ew. I have never listened to anything like this before. There is a major creepiness factor with a twist of humor. Thank you, E. Alenz. I'm glad I creeped you out. I will read my favorite review on the podcast each week in February. So be creative. And please, subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy on Apple Podcast or wherever you podcast so you never miss an episode. I promise to creep you out. With 45 hangings and a burial site in Murderers Row, the infamous Adelaide Jail is said to be one of the most haunted sites in South Australia. Penny Wilkinson, Vice President of the Adelaide Jail Preservation Society, is here with me as my special guest. Welcome, Penny.
Thank you, Amy. It's great to be here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. Now, Adelaide Jail is an amazing heritage site that I know the Adelaide Jail Preservation Society and its volunteers are so dedicated to share its history and stories with visitors, including stories that may be paranormal.
Yes. In fact, most people want to know about the paranormal, of course.
Of course. It's fun.
Without the history, there wouldn't be the paranormal. But most of our tours are of the paranormal type. But we do history tours. And, of course, all of our volunteer guides have to learn the history before they can go on to become a ghost tour guide. So that's the idea, that they really understand what they're talking about, the characters that they're talking about. But of course, we don't always know who the ghosts are, and some of them we give them nicknames because we don't know who they are, obviously.
Right. But knowing that history, you can kind of put together if you see somebody that's recognizable to you.
Oh, yes. In fact, one was quite dramatic, as a matter of fact. When we first saw the ghost, we didn't realise who he was. It was only afterwards, when we did some research and looked at photographs and pictures and things like that, that we realised that's who we were seeing. John Balaban, he was a chemist who had emigrated to Australia in the late 40s. He was probably one of Adelaide's first serial killers.
Oh, a bad guy. Bad guy.
A real bad guy, yes. I was there with two of my colleagues setting up. We were the only three people in the jail at the time, and we had locked up after we'd got in there so that obviously people just couldn't come wandering in. And it was daylight. Sun was shining, blue sky, and I'm walking from one area to another, there's only three of us there, we're all in different areas, I suddenly got what I call the creeps, and this awful feeling came over me, and I couldn't understand what it was. I was scared. I was actually scared. And I'll tell you now, at the time, I did not believe in the ghosts of the jail because I was an atheist, and I thought that they had told these stories just to get people to come to the jail. I couldn't understand why I felt so terrified. I thought, being so scared, the best thing for me to do was to get to see one of my colleagues. So I headed towards where I knew one of my colleagues was. As I was going, I could hear footsteps following me.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
I couldn't see anything. There was nothing to see, but I knew that there was something behind me. I just had that awful feeling. So I kept walking. I was walking faster. And as I was walking faster, the footsteps got faster.
You were being followed, Penny. You were being followed.
I was being followed, yes. I was being followed by something unseen. And you could hear the footsteps crunching on the gravel, you know. And eventually I looked up, and I could see a figure standing at the end of what is what we call one of the laneways, which is quite a wide area. It's not a lane at all. I'm thinking, who on earth is this figure? Because it didn't look like any of my colleagues. And of course, it suddenly dawned on me that what I was looking at was a ghost. And this ghost was staring straight back at me. It was quite a distance from me, but I could see it quite clearly. I came to a standstill, and at that point, interestingly enough, I stopped being scared and I became more curious than anything else. I just, who is this? What does he want? Does he want me to go and converse with him, contact him somehow? So I was about to do that when one of my other colleagues came out of another doorway and spoke my name. I turned to speak to them, and when I looked back, this figure had disappeared. I felt such a fool that I wasn't going to say anything to anybody, which I didn't. I didn't say anything to either of my colleagues that were there that day. I went home and didn't even say anything to my husband, and I kept thinking about it. But the next morning, one of my other colleagues that was there at the time, who was doing a ghost tour later that evening, phoned me and said, guess what happened last night? And I go, what? And so he starts telling me the story of this ghost in exactly the same spot that I had seen it. He was about to go and approach it, but he was there by himself at this stage because everybody else had gone home. And it was dark, it was night, and he thought that wasn't such a wise idea. While he was thinking about it, this ghost turned on his heel and started heading towards what was the graves area and the hanging tower. So he definitely wasn't going to follow it. But it had struck such a chord with him that he said, I couldn't sleep that night. So I went and checked all the stuff that I had on file, all the research that I had done, and found a photograph. And it was exactly the same as this figure that he had seen. Now, I hadn't said anything to him, so I let him keep talking and talking. He goes on to describe this figure, and this figure was exactly the same figure that I saw. So we had seen the same ghost in the same 24-hour period. Turned out that this man was John Balaban, was an industrial chemist. He had emigrated to Australia. His worst effort was he killed his wife by hitting her with a hammer, smashing her head in, and his mother-in-law and his stepson. They had a restaurant in the city, and they lived above the restaurant. He approached the waitress, who also used to board there at this place. She managed to escape him by jumping out of a second floor window.
Wow. So she was the witness.
Prior to this, though, he was quite a character already known to the police. There had been a rape and a murder of a woman in one of the inner suburbs of Adelaide. They had arrested him, but his wife had provided him with an alibi. I don't know whether she realised that she was giving him the alibi or whether she just didn't know. So they couldn't hold him. They had no other evidence to connect him with this crime, except that he had been going around Adelaide in a drunken stupor when he was at his worst.
He's a creepy chemist psychopath is what he is.
Yes, absolute psychopath.
Oh, I wonder if the wife was trying to protect him.
No, I don't think so. I think she was scared.
Yeah, and for a good reason.
Well, he said, tell them that I was home with you or something. So that's what she did. But when he was eventually arrested, he not only confessed to another murder of prostitute in Paris in 1948, he said that he had had this vision one night. He was lying on his bed looking at the ceiling, and the ceiling suddenly gave way to the night sky, and God appeared and told him that he wanted nothing more to do with him. So John Balaban interpreted that as meaning that he could do whatever he liked, and he did. Eventually, when he was due to be hanged at the jail, he beat up one of the wardens there so badly that he was hospitalised. Eventually, he was hanged there. We have seen him, I think there's four people that have actually seen John Balaban on tours when we've been doing tours or as I said, in my case, which was, I was just there during the daytime. We set up a club. So it's the John Balaban Club. And you can only join the club if you manage to come into contact with him and see him.
I kindly do not want to join that club. Just saying, I'm a scaredy cat.
But what's extraordinary to me about your story is that, first off, it was during the day and he was a full-bodied apparition.
And then you were willing, I mean, this is the historian in you, I think. You were willing to go and chat with him. Penny, you're a brave soul.
Well, in fact, my husband tells me that I'm extremely brave. He said, I don't know that I would have done it. And mind you, he's not really sure whether he's ever encountered anything other than some strange feelings, but he's never actually encountered anything at all. So I don't know if he thinks I'm brave or whether he's just being kind to me.
Oh, yeah, sure, Penny, sure. That's nice you're in this new club. That's nice, sweetheart. Wow.
I'm not psychic. I've never claimed to be psychic, although someone did tell me that I feel things. I'm not a clairvoyant. I don't see things. I don't hear noise. I can hear things, obviously. It's more a feeling that I get that something is wrong. So sometimes I walk into the jail and it's quite cool in there. It's lovely. It's, you know, nothing at all. And you know the tour is going to be dead boring because nothing's going to happen. And other times you walk in there and you go, oh my God, it's creepy in here tonight. Usually that's when you have some kind of paranormal situation occurring. Although sometimes, you know, you go in there, it's fine. And then while you're doing the tour, which usually lasts for about 2 hours, something will happen. One night that did happen to me. I don't think it was so much creepy as just, well, I didn't think it was creepy, but some people did think it was creepy. There's a building in the jail called the New Building. It has a set of steps that go up to the second level. Or stairs that go up to the second level. The upper level is locked all the time. The visitors are not allowed to go up there. But what I would do on my tour, and it was towards the end of the tour, I would say to people, really as a joke, who wants to come and sit on the creepy staircase with me, you see? Because by that time I'm tired and I need to sit. Some people will and some people won't. And on this particular occasion, a friend of mine who I had been nagging to come on a tour for months and months had finally decided to come on this tour. So she's on the tour with me and she comes and sits by the staircase alongside me. When I sat down, I had this feeling that there was something just behind my head. And it was so strong that I kept looking around to see if I could see anything. I couldn't see anything. Anyway, my friend is sitting there alongside me and she had brought a friend with her to this tour. And the friend is making faces at the bottom of the steps, sort of waving her arms around and sort of making grim faces. I'm thinking, oh, I'll ignore her. Obviously, she's doing something or whatever it is that she's doing. It wasn't until after the tour had finished and we were saying goodbye to everybody, I said to her, what was going on? And she said, I kept trying to tell you there was something behind both of you. It was like a big white blobby shape.
Oh.
And it didn't have any particular form. It was just this big blobby white shape. And I go, really? You know, really, really? And there was another woman who had been taking photographs that night. And she said, yes, I've got it on my camera. Have a
You're
look.
You're joking.
And there it was.
Yeah, you don't ignore your friends that are trying to get your attention during a ghost tour. Just so you know, Penny. I'm just going to give you that advice right now.
Yes.
Because you never know what's behind you. Oh.
I didn't think it was threatening or devious or anything like that. I just thought it was obviously they'd come to see the tour because obviously some of our ghosts do that. They want to be with people. They want to hang around and see what's going on. One of the funniest ones though was I was doing a tour and I was getting very tired and it was in the same area that I was talking about before. I'm sitting there and I'm getting my words all mixed up because I'm tired and I'm going, I keep swapping ghost for guard. And I thought, now stop and think what you're saying. And as I took a breath, I'm thinking there's this big booming male voice coming from the back of the area upstairs and it shouts out, God, in this big deep voice. And of course, all the people that were standing around me, what the hell was that? And of course, they all go rushing down there to see. You couldn't see anything, but it was our very famous ghost guard, who we do see from time to time.
Your ghost guard? You're kidding. He's still there at the jail.
Yes, the ghost guard. He's still there at the jail. And you can see him patrolling the upstairs. There's three large arch windows. And on moonlit nights, as he passes those, you can see his silhouette passing them. And you know it's from a different era because he's dressed in the old-fashioned guard uniform.
Wow, that's fascinating.
And of course, there's all the things like the raps and the taps and the noises and the keys jangling and the voices and the doors slamming. There's everything. There's something for everyone there.
It would be cool to be able to get the tour from the ghost guard. Because I think he wants to give one, Penny. He's very interested in what you're doing.
At least he wants me to get it right, at any rate. So, I mean, obviously, once he had given me that cue, I thanked him. And I make a point when I go in there now, I say hello. Whether there's anybody there, anybody with me or not, I'll walk in and I'll say, hello, is anyone here today? You know, people think I'm a little crazy. But I did this. I walked in one day, I didn't say anything. I was there on my own. And there's this female voice goes, hello. Hey, why aren't you talking to me?
How did the spirits treat you there, though, Penny? Because you were an atheist, or you still are, but you're having these experiences. You've seen a ghost. It blew you away. How did they treat you?
Well, they treat me very well. I am a grandmother, and I think they have some respect for me because I don't ever say horrible things to them. I don't try to mock them or make light of the fact that a lot of these ghosts we're talking about are people that were executed. So I think they have a great deal of respect for me. However, they don't all have the same respect for everybody. There have been particularly younger women who've got long hair. We've had instances where our visitors have had their hair stroked by these ghosts.
Yeah, because they haven't seen a woman in 100 years. That's so creepy.
Their bottoms played with. In fact, one girl was standing there and she's writhing and she's sort of playing with her thighs and going, oh, God, you know, and I can see that she's quite distressed. And I said, what's wrong? What's going on? And she said, oh, there's somebody touching my bottom and my thighs. And she said, the worst thing is, though, it's inside my jeans. I can feel their hands inside my jeans.
That's scandalous. Oh, wow. There's some bad guys in there. Yes. There's some bad, you got murderers, rapists. Oh, wow.
Yes, there were murders and rapists.
Oh, that poor girl. And can you imagine all the people around her? They're like, oh, that's just so weird. Like, she was so honest, though. I think I would have been quiet and been like, ugh, I'm not going to say anything. That's embarrassing.
Yes, I know. A lot won't say. You can see sometimes that they're quite distressed and you have to take them aside. That's normally why we always have a backup guide when we do our tours, for safety, etc. But also to... Because obviously the main guide who's still telling their stories for the rest of the visitors can't just stop a tour.
When girls are fondled. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So the backup guide will take them aside and either comfort them or help them. We always give a preamble to our tours and we tell people what they may experience. And on one particular evening we were doing this and there was a guy who's actually quite a well-built guy, you know, youngish, sort of under 30, and he said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this. And he went back to his car and waited in the car park until the tour had finished because there's no way he could do it, he reckoned.
You know, you got to know your limits, right? But it's so funny when the tough guys can't do it.
I know. Two of our backup guys, lovely, lovely guys, they really are. And I'm only short, I'm only 5'2", and they. Sometimes when they've got a little bit scared, they'll come get closer to me and sort of get near me. And I said, well, what's the 5'2" granny going to do to save you?
Penny, you are a tough one, I tell you. You are. I'd be hiding behind you too.
Oh, women, I can understand them doing that because women do tend to be a bit more sensitive from the paranormal sense than men are. And they usually get pestered more than the men do. I love doing it and I really enjoy I enjoy the history tours as well as the ghost tours. And the ghost tours are probably more eventful than a history tour, but yes, it's still good fun. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the history, because Elizabeth Lillian Woolcock was the only woman executed in South Australia. It's a fascinating story.
Correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about her?
Yes. It's a very sad story, actually. She was abused when she was a child. She was abandoned by her mother. She was basically abused. She was working as a housekeeper to Thomas Woolcock, and her stepfather had said, he's not going to accept this because people are talking. I mean, you've got to understand, they're talking about the 1860s, 1870s, gossip in the small town. And they said, well, Thomas Woolcock offered to marry her, which he did. But he was an alcoholic and he used to drink a lot, and he was quite a cruel man. And obviously the marriage was incredibly unhappy.
You think? Yeah.
She tried to run away from him a few times, but he'd always find her and bring her home again. The irony is, at one stage, she was so desperately unhappy that she tried to hang herself. The only reason that wasn't successful was the beam that she'd thrown the rope over snapped. So she was saved from doing so. There are a number of people who think that she didn't kill Thomas by murdering him or poisoning him with
mercury.
Mercury. But I personally believe that she did.
I do too.
Yeah.
Poisoning was a big deal back then. I'm kind of obsessed on this podcast with women back in the day poisoning their husbands because it was so easy because we have access to their meals.
Yeah.
And he was so cruel.
Exactly. The thing is that normally the court would go, oh, well, she's a woman. She's only 26 years old. She had a hard life. He was an awful man. You know, we'll commute it to life imprisonment. But at the same time, there was another young a prisoner who was only 19 years of age and was also being condemned to death. They sort of felt, well, maybe if we commute her sentence, we're going to have to commute his. And this was really quite a nasty crime, deliberately done, you know, trying to get profit from it. Whereas Elizabeth just wanted peace, I think. That's all she was after. So they went ahead with it, and she was due to be executed on Christmas Day.
Oh, you're kidding.
But they said, oh, we'll let you enjoy Christmas. We'll let you enjoy Christmas, and you can be executed on New Year's Eve instead. So that's what happened.
No, you know, the men in power, they don't want women knowing that you could poison them and get away with it. So, of course, they had to make an example of her. And then there's a fellow named Ben Ellis, who was the Adelaide jail hangman, who is said to have never questioned his profession until he was required to hang her. Yes. He is said to still haunt the jail.
Yes, he is said to haunt the jail. And there's been a few people in at one stage we used to have, we'd have sleepovers in the dormitory area for scout groups and school groups and family groups, etc., where they would spend all night at the jail.
Because that's wholesome fun, right? Oh my God, that's so scary. Well, no disrespect to the jail, but I would never send my 8-year-old there for an overnight. Just saying. I wouldn't stay there.
They used to have their teachers or their guardians with them. You know, they'd have them with them. So that would be fine. And there was always a caretaker there. We don't do this anymore, but I'd like to bring it back, I must admit. But anyway, they were there. When lights out, you know, when they say they've had their supper, they've done all the things, they've done the tour of the job, it's now time for you to go to bed and go sleep, and that's it.
Yeah, good luck sleeping, kids. Just good luck sleeping.
Yeah, good luck sleeping. But
the ghost guard's over here if you need anything.
So they had decided that they weren't going to listen to all the warnings. They had egged this girl on to go down the steps and, you know, walk around in the dark. So she did, and she got down there, and a creature grabbed her from behind and wouldn't let her go until she started screaming hysterically. She was so hysterical that her parents had to come and collect her. And when she was a bit more coherent, she described this person, this creature, and it was exactly like the resident hangman. Now, obviously, there'd been lots of hangmen over the years, but this one, this particular one, was quite a nasty piece of work in that he was an alcoholic for a start, which presumably was the only way he could manage to hang people, was getting drunk beforehand. But yes, he died. He died a pauper. He died at the jail. This young girl, apparently, I believe, did eventually recover. But of course, I don't think she's ever come back to the jail.
No.
Anyway, maybe as an adult. This was several years ago, many years ago. But yes, we apparently do get glimpses of him, but not as often as we would like. And this is the unfortunate thing, because as I said earlier, we don't know who all our ghosts are. And so some of them, we give them nicknames like the straggly haired woman or the beanie hatted man or the creeping ghost or whoever, you know, or the white lady or the grey lady. So we're not sure who they are because we don't have any relevant pictures or photographs of them. It's only in the latter stages of the jail's working life that you actually had photographs of some of the inmates. But yes, he was quite an interesting one. So he's buried as a pauper anyway.
Penny, this place is highly haunted. The idea that you even know that John Balaban, that you've even seen him, witnessed him, and documented that is actually who you saw, and you had another person see him and several others, it's extraordinary. I mean, there are other places that claim to be the most haunted place in a country, and, you know, a chair moves, they'll hear a disembodied voice, but you have seen things. People have felt things. They've been attacked.
Yes,
this place is insane.
It makes it sound like it's like that all the time, but of course you can go there and nothing happens at all. And I tell my visitors they don't get their money back if we don't have any paranormal phenomena.
Yeah, if you don't get groped, you don't get your money back. Sorry. Oh, man. If you don't get pulled into the basement by a monster. Oh, wow.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the ghosts, they can't really hurt you in... strictly speaking, they can't hurt you because their power is so little. They can scare you to death, of course, but they can't really, really have any impact on you physically. Other than, I mean, scratching. They could be scratching and burning. They've done things like
really?
That.
Really? You've seen it?
Look, it hasn't all happened to me, of course. It has, I mean, most of
No, you're the sweet grandma that all the prisoners love. It wouldn't happen to you. They're not going to burn you. They're going to burn some other dude. They're going to burn the new guy.
Yes, well, one night they did scare me. And as you said, I'm very brave, but this night I was particularly scared. I was doing a tour. I saw this big black blobby thing up on the second floor of the new building. And I sort of saw it. And looked and said, oh, is that really a big blobby thing? And it sort of came towards me as though it was directing itself directly to me.
Whoa.
And I swore. Very unprofessional.
But warranted, Penny, warranted.
And there was a gentleman, a visitor beside me, American gentleman, actually. And he said, I saw that.
Now, wait a minute. Yeah. It came at you, but did it hit you? Did you, I don't know, move out of the way?
No, it didn't. Because as I started to move, it sort of stopped. So I don't know whether it realized that it was scaring me or whether it was because there was other people around. I don't know, but it didn't come any further. But it was moving away from where it was. It was quite a distance towards me, and it was like it was directing itself at me. And fortunately, this gentleman who was standing right next to me at the time said, I can see that. I can see that. You know, I saw that. So maybe that was enough to put it off. Because funnily enough, the ghosts, they either want to show themselves or they don't. And when they don't, it's almost impossible to get them to do anything, you know, because they're not actors. They don't come out on cue. They come when they feel like it. So sometimes I think if there's too much activity there, too much noise, too much going on, they tend to hibernate and keep away from you. And it's usually when it's quiet and calm, that's when they'll sort of pop out and just give you...
Just when you thought everything was safe. Yeah. Now tell me what the term between the walls means. I've never heard of that. What does buried between the walls refer to?
Okay. A lot of people think it means it's buried, they're buried in the wall and not. there's two sets of walls. There's obviously the internal wall, and then there's the external wall. And there's a laneway, and if you look at the website, you can actually see on the website what between the walls means. So there's quite a big walkway between them. And so they are buried somewhere between the outer wall and the inner wall. It is a registered cemetery, so these bodies can never be removed, apart from the fact that it's a heritage listed building, so obviously they cannot be moved. And there are still relatives of some of these people who come and visit the grave.
Elizabeth Woolcock, she was buried between the walls, and her grave was incorrectly marked.
Yes.
And then it had to be corrected. How did they even figure that out?
Yes.
That's fascinating to me.
Originally, the idea is that none of the graves are marked, but in our particular jail, a record was actually kept in a ledger.
Why aren't they marked? It's because they're criminals and they don't want like a Christian burial. Is that it?
Because they're criminals.
Because they're criminals, yeah.
Yes. Because they're criminals, and so they don't deserve any kindness whatsoever. And apart from the fact that there is usually a religious person, a priest or a padre or something who gives them either the last rites or whatever. But they don't get any hallowed ground. They don't get any of the niceties that normally one would do when there's a funeral. And likewise, the last disgraceful thing that can be done to them is that they don't get a name. They don't get a date of death or a date of birth or anything. However, someone did keep a register. We don't have all of them. I think there's six or seven that we don't have a site for. So we know that they're there, but we don't know exactly where they are. The rest were then buried. When the Adelaide Jail Preservation Society came into the jail and started doing all their research, etc., they found this ledger. And they went about stenciling on the wall who that body was and the date of their execution. So we are a bit unique.
That is unique. That is.
I went to Crumlin Road Jail, and their dead are buried as far away from everybody that they could possibly be buried, and there's no markings at all unless a prisoner has scratched something on a stone. But that wasn't the case in our jail. We actually had a register of who was there. So, yeah. So it's good.
Amazing. It's good. Amazing. And I'm sure having all those people buried there, I mean, it has something to do with all the paranormal activity. I mean, you have all the energy and the bad energy of having a jail, but then you've also have all those hangings and executions and dead bodies there.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
You have another claim to fame there. There's another claim to fame at Adelaide. You have the last man to hang in South Australia, Glenn Sabre Valance.
Yes.
Valance. He was a bad guy too.
He was only 21 years old.
Really?
Yeah, I feel very sorry for him. He had a dreadful, dreadful childhood. Now, I didn't have a particularly nice childhood, but I didn't turn out to be a murderer. So I'm not excusing him, except that we have an expression in Australia, it's not the full quid. It means he's mentally unstable. So he did try for a plea for insanity. They weren't going to accept it, mainly because after killing his ex-employer, he raped the man's wife while she was lying alongside his body.
It's absolutely horror show. Yeah, it's horror show. I mean...
We have some wonderful criminals here.
Oh, boy, do you. It's a cast of characters, Penny, and you hang out with them for your tours.
Yeah. Mind you, I think there's been just as many horrific murders since the jail closed and that I have not been privy to or met any of these people. But we don't hear about them because the jails now are a bit more... they're not as creepy, you know, they're modern. And we still have an old jail in Adelaide, Yatala Prison.
Just wait, in 150 years, there'll be a podcast about them. Just wait.
Exactly. Yes, I won't be around.
It all goes around. We won't be around. I don't want to be around in 150 years. But tell me about some of your coworkers, what experiences they've had.
Well, there's a lovely young man called Chris. He often does backup service for me when I'm doing a tour. And I love having him around because he's so reliable. But he hates the new building with a vengeance, and he actually gets quite scared in there. And that all came about But then at one stage, he was actually acting a bit like a caretaker at the jail. He would go and lock up everything in the evening. And some of that's fine because it's still light, but in winter, it's very dark. And he was there one day locking up, and he could hear doors slamming. And when he went to investigate, the doors aren't slamming at all, but he can hear the noise of the cell doors slamming. And this went on, and it was almost like following him around the three areas that he had to go into. So he hates it. And we're doing a tour one evening, and I'm standing on the lower level in A Wing and talking about, we have a tableau of an execution. It's not entirely authentic, but it gives people an idea of where this execution took place and what an execution was like. And there are four figures, dummies or mannequins or whatever you want to call them there. And of course, it's all done in the dark, so you're only getting a little bit of light coming from the windows or the torches. And as I'm looking up there and I'm talking about various things, I can see one of the doors, one of the cell doors.
Closing,
not making any noise, but I can see this. So I turned to Chris and I said, Chris, can you see that door up there moving, or is it just me, my eyes playing tricks on me? And he said, no, Penny. He said, I didn't see the door moving. He said, but I did see the figure that walked behind the tableau.
Shut up. Oh, my God.
So, you know, this it's funny sometimes. I mean, sometimes the ghosts are funny, and they obviously are trying to get a rise out of you. They're trying to get some kind of reaction from you, and they do, often do.
No, I think that they absolutely, they want to communicate with you when they want to communicate with you, and they want to be remembered.
Yes, they do. And of course they are. They're probably as famous or infamous as any pop star in Adelaide is now, you know. So there's been so many people that have gone through and either had experiences or at least seen where they were executed and where they've been buried. And, you know, it's not just my colleagues or it's other guides that have seen this. This was going on before the jail even closed. There were a number of prisoners who would report sightings or phenomena. There were a number of prison officers who were doing the same thing. And in fact, in A Wing of the new building, it is so haunted that they actually had officers who would resign because they would not be allowed to be assigned to a different area of the jail. And some of them said, no, I'm sorry, I can't work here any longer. I just can't work here. There's just too much stuff going on. And it was pretty scary. So, you know, it's been going on for a long, long time there. And, I mean, I've been involved in the jail for 14 and a bit years. I'm not one of the very early AGPS people, but one of my colleagues is. And he tells lots of stories of when he first started there. But he used to go there in his job. He was a plumber. And when they had issues with the plumbing at the jail, he would go there to fix the plumbing. So he got to know a lot of the less horrible inmates there, who later became members of the Adelaide Jail Preservation Society as a volunteer. And some of the prison officers who were still there who became members of our society and became guides. And so he had lots and lots and lots of stories from, you know, very early on, from 1989 onwards. Possibly before that. But of course, it's been going on for years. So, you know, it ain't going to stop anytime soon.
It's not going to stop anytime soon.
Other than from COVID-19.
No. No, the ghosts are there to stay. Penny, this has been the most fascinating interview. And I want to tell you all, don't settle for anything less than the tour from the Adelaide Jail Preservation Society, because that is the tour that you don't want to miss. These people, they do not get paid. They are volunteers and they're the historians. They're the true historians and they know what's going on. Thank you so much, Penny. And I cannot wait to get to South Australia and visit you in Adelaide.
Give me a call when you do. It'll be a pleasure to take you on a tour.
Thank you so much.
liked what you heard today, please subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy. In the month of February, if you leave a written review and a 5-star rating, you will get free creepy stickers. Simply screenshot a review and email it to info@creepypodcast.com, along with your name and mailing address. All of my giveaways are posted on my website, creepypodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
Toxic content.